Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com and the author of the Prayer Prescription Series. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, I am going to be interviewed by Devorah Lansky, better known as the Marketing Wizard Online. That's 12-12-12 at 12 noon. The web address for that interview is digitalpublishingcafe.com/Kate-Loving-Schenck. And we will be discussing my new book, which is called 365 Prayer Prescriptions for Dog and Cat Lovers. Our guest tonight is Sheila Audette, a.k.a. Astrologist. We will be discussing the significance of 12-12-12, as well as 12-21-12, the date projected to be the end of the Mayan calendar. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hi, that was a mouthful.
That was a little bit much.
No, it was wonderful. It was just wonderful, you know. Nobody could publish a book on a better day than 12-12-12 because there is a Gemini, which is a Jupiter is in Gemini. Vesta is in Gemini. Retrograde, subjective, which means it'll go deep into the consciousness of the morphogenic field, and the electromagnetic energy of the book is going to spread everywhere because it's Jupiter in Gemini, and it will.
What is the degree? What is the degree?
Nine degrees of Gemini, 58.
Okay, thank you.
Which is 10 degrees of almost 10 because it's only 2. Seconds from, 10. So it's more 10 degrees, which is a new beginning. And Vesta is 16 degrees of Gemini, which is the eternal flame, which means the book's been written, the books you're doing have been written for centuries, and you probably have written them. And it's an eternal flame that is coming through. Now, the Yod, which is the finger of God, which is two inconjuncts, put together by a sextile. The sextile, the one side of it, is going into the apex of Jupiter in Gemini, is Saturn in Scorpio. And again, we have the Saturn responsibility, okay? Deep responsibility that will go very deep into the psychic. And the other part is Pluto in Capricorn. And, of course, Pluto is the sign that the planet that rules Scorpio. So they go together. So it's called a mutual reception. Saturn is in Capricorn and Pluto is in Scorpio. Pluto's in Capricorn and Saturn is in Scorpio. And Pluto rules Scorpio and Saturn rules Capricorn, if people got that. So that's called... They have on each other's costume, but they are in sextile and quintal, and the quintal for that is Mars at 19 degrees of Capricorn. All of that, it goes into the Yod, the apex of the Yod, which is Jupiter in Gemini. Now, in the middle of that is Moon conjunct the Sun in Sag. So that is ruled by Jupiter in Gemini, which is the apex of the Yod, which means breaking the seed open and going all over the world. And then Mercury is in there in Sag, which again rules Gemini, which where Jupiter's in Gemini. And that also means, you know, when there's Aries, it's the beginning of a project. And then the Leo energy is when you write it. But the Sagittarius energy is when somebody says, let's just take it all over the world. The vision is for the world. So what we're looking at here is, the 12-12-12 mandala is beautiful. And then Neptune, of course, is at 0 degrees in Pisces, which means it's in its own sign. And Uranus, which means the morphogenic field is that it will go into the subconscious of humanity. And Uranus, Aries in the midheaven, and Uranus in Aries is like an instant explosion. And there's also a quintal from Vesta to that Uranus. Quintals are 72-degree aspects that are creativity, self-expression, creativity. They're unique. Their quintal aspects are a particular kind of talent. So this day, 12-12-12, is a really auspicious day for a lot of people. I mean, particularly the mutable signs. Okay.
Yeah.
The mutable signs are really up. Question? Do you have a question about that, Kate? That was a mouthful too.
Well, Gemini is it air? Gemini
is air. Yes, Gemini is books. Gemini is strategy. Gemini is great tennis players. When I researched Gemini, a lot of tennis players have a lot of Gemini in their chart. Because in a split second, they have a trillion kind of things they can do. They can do a drop shot. They can do an overhead. They can do, but in that moment, they've got to pick one. That's Gemini, you know? They've got to pick a chess game. Jupiter in Gemini is also strategy, is seeing five moves ahead. That's what Gemini is. The Gemini is always curious. The Gemini is, wow, what can I do here? Wow, that's interesting. Well, there's an innocence about Gemini that is not, Mercury rules Gemini, and Mercury also rules Virgo. There's not an innocence around Virgo, though. Virgo is an M. It looks like an M, and it's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritually the thing that comes in is the spiritual side of it. But there's a criticalness and a knowledge around Virgo that's always picking everything apart. That's not in Gemini. Gemini is the, oh, wow. Oh, my God, that's interesting. Oh, wow. And the Gemini is always the creator that is going back to the beginning. It's saying, okay, I'll take beginner's class again because I might find something really interesting that'll help me with my professional technique. So a Gemini, I think Gemini represents that people will read the book, if we're talking about the book, and Gemini is a book, or a speech, or it with a lot of innocence. And I feel that that's in animals, a lot of innocence. There is unconditional love. It's great that it's Gemini because it's the cat out here was just, this morning he was interested in my pocketbook, and tonight it's even more interesting, you know? Where a child would get sick of it, the animal goes, whoa, that's even more interesting tonight, you know? So I think that it's good that it is Gemini, that there's that innocence and love and unconditional love, and animals don't hold grudges.
No,
animals just love you. So people put that on animals, saying, oh, that animal's mad or that animal's holding a grudge. And one of Catherine's animals, they called it her the little tiny whale, the little shark. Here people were touching her mouth, and here she had an abscess in there. She was just trying to keep people away from her mouth. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once the tooth was taken care of, everybody wouldn't go near her. But and then Cheeky Mama started licking people.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She simply was in a protective state around the pain that that was causing. So, and it was fortunate that a person that really knew animals finally got her and said, well, there's something wrong in the mouth. But then the other people were just saying it's a mean dog, which it was not. It was not. So
right.
that's what I mean. That's what I mean. There, Jupiter in Gemini is a big kind of, it's an expansion of innocence. It's much more intuition than it is knowledge. I mean, knowledge comes from, it's a set thing, and genius comes from intuition. Let's do it differently. You know, that's why, you know, Einstein and Edison and they were all called morons because they didn't want to do it in the limits of what was set. They wanted to expand out, I call it outside the box, outside the circle. So
that is
12, 12, 12. I find that Jupiter also, of course, remains on December the 21st, 2012. The moon is in Aries that day, and at noon, there's an intercepted house, and I'm into the interception of the house, which means it's a play within a play within a play. There is a mystery around the day. There is a big mystery around the day. There's also a yod in this to the Pluto Saturn yod remains in the chart. It remains because Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter, of course, they're slow moving planets. So this yod, and so there's mutual reception, which I find so interesting, of Saturn ruling Capricorn and Pluto ruling Scorpio. There is some things that are going to be revealed around, and it seems to be government. It seems to be a structure. It seems to be, you know, the Mayan structure is, that structure is over, therefore we're on our own. It's almost like, okay, you learn to crawl, you learn to walk, you learn, you know, you learn to run, you learn, and then you learn to fly. So it's now we're on our own. I don't think it's the end of the world by far. I think it's the beginning of a new kind of energy coming from the subconscious and coming up because of the Neptune at 0 degrees of Pisces. It's something that's been brewing with people for ages and ages and ages. But when I was in the hospital, it was the nurse came in and asked me if I wanted some Reiki. Now, that would have never happened even 2 years ago.
No.
It was the massage, and then, you know, I do Reiki, and, you know, the healing, the holistic healing patterns are now coming into the hospitals. There's much, you don't have to go to a retreat once a year. You have it right there on your television set, you know, Wayne Dyer and Oprah Winfrey and Yana Van Zandt and, you know, any kind of, you just go to OWN on Sunday, which is an advertisement for Oprah, but they run, the whole Sunday is a spiritual soul Sunday on that channel. And it goes from Yana to Wayne Dyer to, you know, see the soul guy to, you know, on and on and on and on and on. So it is in the metaphoric, it's in the electromagnetic field, the morphogenic field now of the universe. We are much closer to working with Neptune at 0 degrees of Pisces with our heart center, our subconscious center, rather than with our mental mind. You know, which goes by knowledge and goes by, you know, it goes by what is taught, where we are now moving towards the subconscious. And your books are coming out at this time, which is the most auspicious times that it could, your books can come out. And they're coming out very rapidly, one right after another, too, which is One's laying right here beside me. It's right here on the coffee table. But the moon in Aries, Uranus is in Aries, yes, you know, I think that if people that might encounter them, people want to make it into a dramatic story and they want to make it into the end of the world, you know, and they might, well, it's going to be the end of some kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think until we experience the mystery, we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to, some things have to be experienced. And you can talk about things, you can tell people things, you can show them things, you can do everything. But until you experience it, you don't have it. You don't have it.
Right,
you have
right,
to actually
right.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And the spiritual one is, what did I learn from this? I'm no longer a victim from this. I have learned what I need to learn, and I can move on. People get stuck in one of the places. And if you don't get it mentally, then it's going to develop into emotional, and then it will develop into something physical. And it will lay you up, and it will stop you until you say, hey, this is what I've got to stop here. Okay,
right.
Question.
No, I mean, it's, I think we have a whole board full of people, though, switchboard full of people, though, who are waiting to talk with you.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm ready.
This would be area code 229.
Oh.
229. No, I just, let me do that again.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Yes. My name is Melvin. I'm calling out of the state of Georgia.
Ah, Georgia.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And
welcome.
You all doing readings tonight, or?
Sure. What? When were you born, Melvin?
September the 10th, 1960.
1960? Did you say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And what would your question be, Melvin?
Just what coming up for me the upcoming year, because. I have a lot of issues going on with me, so I don't know which one to ask you. So I just, whatever you can pick up.
Okay, so it's September the 10th, 1960, right? And
yes,
we're talking
ma'am.
About, and I was just talking about Virgo, right?
Yeah.
So what happens, Melvin, with the Virgo is some kind of experience happens mentally. And then what you do is you take it into an emotional place, and that's energy in motion, and you start to chunk it up instead of asking, what am I learning from this? What am I going to learn from this? Now, you have the moon in Taurus, which means you're a pretty stubborn guy, okay? Which means it's like you're knocking at the same door over and over again. I think that basically when I'm looking at this, it's saying you've got to go at it differently. You've got to turn it over and say, what am I doing that is repetitive? That's what I get in this chart. What am I doing? Is this around any kind of relationship here?
I wanted to be in one with this young lady, but we
mm-hmm.
haven't talked about a month and a half, and she was staying with me, but
mm-hmm.
Anybody else, you know, I would love to be in a relationship.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that some of it is around a relationship. What do you think you learned from her? There is a big learning curve that's going on with you right now. It really has to do with rules and regulations and not being on the same page in a relationship, okay?
Right.
So it means that there was criticalness and there was a lot of judgment and there was a lot of comparison. I'm not just saying with you here. I'm saying the person that you're with mirrors some parts of you and magnifies them in some way that you go, oh my gosh, I'm not really like that, you know. But they're a magnification of it. And then what happens with that, Melvin, is you get very angry about that, and instead of looking into your own stuff, you blame it on them. And then before you know it, they're gone. So it's I think right now you need to really lighten up on yourself, be kinder to yourself, do some work around, you know, some issues of how am I going to be in a relationship. It's, you know, what do you want out of a relationship, Melvin?
Well, I just, you know, would like to meet a nice, good woman, someone trustworthy and loving and caring, and that's
now you are asking for all those things, so that's what you must be to get this woman. Every one of those things you just said, loving, caring, you know, non-judgmental, all those things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then the person will step in, because you do, you know, you have a beautiful thing here with Venus and Libra. You can attract, you know, a really nice woman. I mean, it's right there in the chart, and you will, but you have to be all those things that you want them to be, Melvin, okay?
Right.
Let me look at a card for you.
Okay.
I got a very powerful card here. I got strength. And it means you've worked a lot on yourself, and you have a lot of totems, and you can be monogamous, and you can be very good, and you can be all of those things. So it means that what this girl taught you has taught you it's she's not the right girl, but the next relationship will be, okay?
Yeah.
All
okay.
right. Anything else?
Yes. With my, do you see like my finances turning in a more stable manner?
Yes, I do. And the reason they're going to turn in a more stable manner is that you're going to drop that sentence you just said to me, because right there you told the story, and by saying the stable, an unstable manner, you are creating that in this moment. So you say, my finances, as of this moment, are going to be tremendous. Go ahead, say it.
My finances, as this moment, as I speak, are going to be tremendous.
And you're never
Great.
Saying the other, never saying the other sentence
I believed
again.
It. I believe that.
Yeah.
Yes. And your voice became so much stronger, did it not?
Oh, it did. Yes, ma'am. It did.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So that is your meditation. Every single time now for 4 days, 4 or 5 days, you just say that, and by the end of that, your finances will be tremendous. It's starting right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is wishes fulfilled in the moment, not in the future, but right now. Okay?
Yes. Okay. Right,
okay,
man.
Have a great night.
Thank you
for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Melvin.
All right, have a blessed night. Thank you all.
Thank you,
Melvin. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Now, this is area code 9. Let's see here. Hang on just a minute. I want to make sure I'm getting everybody
sure,
in the right.
Honey.
This would be area code.
Mm-hmm.
937.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling
in.
How
are you?
Real good. My name is Sandy, and my birthday is April 8th, 1957.
Okay, 1957. Okay.
Yes.
What
just
do
means
you want to
I'm
know,
getting
Sandy?
Old.
What?
I said that just means I'm getting old.
Don't say that either. Gosh.
No, I don't care about age. It's just a number. That doesn't bother me in the least.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That means you'll be eternally young. Okay. You sound eternally young.
Sure. We all are. We're all young. We grow every day.
Right. This is, you're really having good stuff right now coming up here. I mean,
really?
Yes, really. Man, there is the Jupiter and Gemini innocence, isn't there? basically Uranus is getting stronger and stronger, aspecting your sun. Okay?
Okay.
So that means that whatever way you tell the story, it's just going to explode into something wonderful. And your moon, of course, is in Cancer. And so the moon in Cancer is in its own sign, which means if you're nurturing yourself and really loving yourself right now and really taking good care of every single thing that you say in your story, there's going to be some tremendous success coming your way. And it's going to be Mercury in Taurus, something that you worked on and expanded on for a long period of time. And you've been tenacious about it, and you've been consistent about it. And it's going to really come to the apex. It's you have entered into the morphogenic field, and so it's now going to come at a startling pace, much faster than you think. And it's something you love, Venus, because you have Venus in Aries also. In fact, you have Venus conjunct the Sun in Aries, which is a tremendous pioneer in a field. It's a tremendous pioneer in somehow in love and teaching people how to love in whatever place that you're at. And Mars is Mars in Gemini. Jupiter is coming up on that. Man, it's all over the place here of expansion of knowledge. And the Jupiter in Virgo, the only thing that can hold you back here is tremendous criticism of self in some deep place. So you've got to watch every time that you try to tell your story, no negative stuff. You don't sound like you do it much anyway, but it still means Jupiter and Virgo can chunk up. And by chunking up, I mean they can make a mountain out of a molehill in an instant, okay? And then you have Saturn in Sag. I happen to like Saturn in Sag because it's the visionary that takes responsibility that makes the vision actually happen. It's the person that pulls the arrow back as far as they can till it's way, way back, and then lets go, and it goes so far, and it builds something for all people to enjoy. Okay? And this Uranus, all this fire in your chart, it's a lot of fire. And, you know, with the moon in Cancer, I always say, they say moon in Cancer, they're homebodies, but they're really not. They're really doing everything, even if it's family-oriented, they're doing it somewhere in their subconscious for all living beings. Okay? Question?
Oh, yeah, that's about true, yes. Wow, fantastic. Thank you. Much. That sounds good.
I got in the Mother Peace deck the Nine of Discs. It's a woman. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 totems that she's already put in place. She is sitting on a vision quest. It's your subconscious working on the 10th one. And the 10th one is made with action, action and stretching and risk. So it's saying that she's just about done with this pattern, and it means that this week you should go out and from your comfort zone and do something that you normally would not do and make yourself really uncomfortable.
Okay. That sounds about like what I was thinking.
What?
That sounds about like what I was thinking. There's this guy that I sort of kind of like, and I was just going to kind of, approach him a little bit.
Well, approach him a lot.
Approach him a lot. Okay.
Yes, because the next card is the Sun of Discs. And the Sun of Discs in the Mother Peace deck looks like there's a big archery target in the woods that's only visible to the person. It's only everybody else, and he's pulling an arrow back and shooting her. She's shooting for this target. So I think he wants to be approached.
Okay. Wow.
That's my feeling about it. Okay.
Oh,
so
fantastic. Well, thank you. I think you've just made my day. I don't think. Good. I know you have. So, you guys are wonderful. So thank you so much. You all have a great day.
Have a great holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Night.
Night.
Good night, honey.
Now we have area code 901.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there. Whoops.
Hello.
Very good. We'll try this again. Hello.
Hello.
This is Kate and Sheila. Hello.
Hi, this is Lanice.
Lanice?
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
Hi. My birthday is July 5th, 1963.
Uh-huh. 1963. And what's your question, honey?
I just want to know what you see in my chart. Anything pop out about relationship or money?
It's popping right out. Okay.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Okay. So July 5th, 1963. Okay, Sun in Cancer. Oh my goodness, this is a Sagittarius night for some reason. Moon in Sag. Visionary here, Mercury in Cancer, Venus here in Gemini. So you have this Venus in Gemini, which is also, we're dealing with Jupiter in Gemini right now, and we're dealing with double Sag on tomorrow, actually, on the 12th, the 12-12-12 day.
Yes.
So, what we're looking at here for you is money can jump out for you. It just depends on what you're telling the story about and what kind of energy you're putting into it. Jupiter in Aries may mean that you're not looking at something, Lanice, that's right in front of you that could make you a lot of money. It seems that Jupiter in Aries sometimes moves so rapidly through some things that they don't slow down and take in the whole environment. So it's saying the way you do that, the process that you can use to do that, is sit down, pull out your journal, and write down all of your talent, okay?
Okay.
Write down every single thing that you can do, and things that you do better than anybody else, and things that you were born to do. I don't even care if it's baking cookies. I think, some people have made millions off of baking cookies, Popcorn people have made it off of popcorn. It's something in the environment that is really nurturing them, because you have the Sun in Cancer here. It's some kind of thing that would be nurturing to other human beings, that they will be willing to pay you a lot of money for. And it will be a big success. You have Saturn in Aquarius. You're part of the New Age structure. You're part of the Aquarian structure, like the Olympics of the one and the many and the many and the ones, and making something extraordinary happen out of something ordinary. So it's an ordinary thing that you can make into an extraordinary thing that will make a lot of energy, which is money for you. And that is right here, okay? And the Mother Peace card that I got for you is the Daughter of Swords. It's a Pegasus. It means a totem is coming in for you. The Pegasus here is coming through like the eye of a needle, and she's standing on top of a mountain. And it's saying, If you want it, it will come. If you build it, it will be here. If you do it, it will be successful. And that's why you're calling tonight. And it's also, you got, interestingly enough, the same card as the person before you, which is like Robin Hood woman standing in the woods shooting an arrow into a target, but nobody else can see it but them. This chart's a little bit like Excalibur. You're the only one that can do it. And if you don't do it, no one else will.
Wow.
So it's pulling the sword out of the stone. But only Arthur could do that. Only Lanice can do that. Okay?
Okay. I can feel that energy. It's like there's something for me to do, and I don't know what it is, but...
Okay, you can say the first part of that sentence, but you're dropping the last, right? You're never going to say the last part of that sentence again. You're going to say there's something to do, and it will be shown to me right away within the week.
There's something.
You will not do the last part because you have deleted the first part of the sentence. The last part of the sentence. So the universe only hears the last part. I don't know what it is. Well, then you're never going to know. You drop that part of the sentence and say it will be shown to me immediately, or be shown to me within 2 days. It will be shown to me on 12/12/12. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I've taken off work for that day. I'm going to be right there with spirit.
Good.
Tomorrow, starting midnight
and
tonight.
Yes, so you listen to spirit. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Right on.
And spirit will tell you.
Okay, what about relationship? Is this a good time for relationship?
There's only time for relationship. If you love yourself and you care for yourself and you nurture yourself, then that's the kind of relationship you're going to pull in. Loving and nurturing and caring, and that and a visionary and everything that you will want, that will be pulled in. If you are not caring for yourself and you're being mean to self and you're criticizing self and judging self and comparing self, then that's what you'll bring in. You always mirror what you are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right?
Okay.
All right, honey. Have a great day on 12/12/12, okay?
And
thank you
for that valuable information. Thank
you're
you
welcome, anytime.
Acting and rephrasing my statements. Thanks.
Your story is always what you create. Thank you, Lanice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. But we could always create another story.
Yes.
Just as powerful, much more powerful. So this is area code 818. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Area code 818. Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
May I just listen? Because I have a lot of noise in the background here. It's not fair to you.
Well, we can we can hear it.
Okay. So, do you like me to give you my birthday?
Yes.
Sure.
Here. Your name and your birthday.
Diane, and
mm-hmm.
I'm April
30th, 1953. Mm-hmm. Okay. 1953. All right. Okay, so we have Taurus and with a Scorpio moon. Very powerful. Very powerful chart. It means, for me, the Taurian thing is here on this earth more than any other sign in the zodiac. I call it the God seed. The God seed is the sun sign in the chart. It represents the dot in the circle, the center of the circle is the dot. And Allah, I do lots of charts, and people only work certain parts of their chart. Everybody goes, oh, that's a Leo, or oh, that's a Taurus. Well, that is not what they are. They work all other parts of the chart until they break the God seed open. And usually something, there has to be a death of something, a death of a relationship, a death of a job, a death of... And you have the moon in Scorpio, a death of something that makes you go to your core and peel away something that you depended on, something that you counted on. It's like a peeling away, and then you find out after you go through it that you didn't really need it at all, that you were a survivor and you were strong. And it's like the phoenix rising. It's transmutation, transformation. All of those have trans words in front of them. So, and you also have Mercury in Aries, and you have Venus in Aries also, which is a pioneering kind of quality that's in this chart with the Mars in Taurus. So it means there has been a breaking open here of something, and there has been something where you're getting to know your God seed better, to get to open up the chart. And I must tell you that some people never open their chart, but if you have the sun in Taurus and the moon in Scorpio, it's almost guaranteed that your soul, we are spiritual beings in a human incarnation, that your soul will open up the chart, because that is the promise in this incarnation. So it means what you focus on is what is really going to happen. You have Jupiter in Taurus also, and that Jupiter in Taurus is if you plant it, if you water it, if you, you know, if you, that's what you have to do to a seed to make it grow. And then when it sprouts, it's very vulnerable, so you have to really take care of it. That what I'm talking about is you. I'm talking about fertilizing and growing and reaching toward the sun. And that takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of vibratory energy to nurture yourself that way. So it means basically whatever you're focusing on right now, it's about to be born, but you have to get out of your comfort zone and take a risk.
You know, that is really a very incredible insight, because I truthfully love listening to learn, and I wasn't going to ask. And, you know, I've always gotten everything I've ever wanted, and I'm not saying that in but other than I really focused and I got it. And it's exactly what you said, and I feel like I have such a blessed life. And you just made me more insightful to understanding. Interesting, the power of the Scorpio and the Taurus. You know, that's very interesting. And I did, you know, when you said I had a at five I lost my father, so that was the. Where I had to, you know, in my fifth house is my moon, and I did have to, perceive to do it on my own, and I did, and it was just fine, and I love how powerful you are. You're good, and I thank you for my reading. I loved it.
Well, you're good too.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Thank you for calling. It's great.
Thank you, dear.
Bye,
baby. Bye, Diane.
Okay, now I think, let's see. We have area code 913.
On the nines.
Hello, 913, you are on the air.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
Fine,
good.
Thank you.
My name is Andy. Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi.
And you're born when?
I was born March 24th, 1965.
Wow. Interesting. March 24th, 1965. And that was a good day, wasn't it, Andy?
You know what? Every day above ground is a good day.
Oh, snap! Yes.
Do you need the time?
No, I don't, because I'm not that. No. I would if I was doing the entire chart, but I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, if I was doing it. Okay. So, March 24th. 1960, I'm a year back. I'm on that sum right there. Okay. March 24th. Okay. Well, you're in a very powerful time. I guess you know that, don't you? I mean, Uranus is just going back and forth over your sun. So something is just exploding out of you. And it's just exploding. It's like a birth, a volcanic birth in some way. And the moon here in Sagittarius just adds to that. Actually, it's a really big day for you tomorrow on 12-12-12 because that, you know, the vision they're, again, this is a very explosive kind of soul incarnation where the vision has to come to fruition in some way. And you have Mercury here in Aries too. This is a pioneer chart. And a pioneer chart is a chart that makes roads for everybody else. It just opens up ways and patterns. But it's the fastest one to come out of the comfort zone and go into a stretch zone. And everybody else, they come along and stretch with me. And then go into a risk zone of really doing it. You can stretch without really doing it. You can experiment without really doing it. It's what Yoda says, do or do not do. There's no such thing as try, and then you have to believe. And that flips you into the risk zone. And when you flip into the risk zone, then you die to the old way of being. That's a transformational, it's a transformational thing. And right now, between the 12th and the 21st, that's up. So it means you should be doing a lot of journaling right now. You should be doing a lot of consciousness raising on the map of consciousness. Doing a lot of things out of your comfort zone. Looking at things that you would do that disappoint someone else that you need to do for yourself. That's where what you need to really look at right now, to be in your own creativity and self-expression and tell your own story. And right now it really needs a voice, a way to be heard, you know? And it's right there in your life. And it's all the things that you need to own right now. I can't tell you enough that with Uranus and Aries and all, you need to own it. You need not to give it away. So I think you're headed for a really long journey here in some way. Yes. Why are you laughing?
I think it's already been a long journey.
Well, I know, but, you know, by saying it's already been a long journey, you are diminishing what's coming. You have to say, I'm ready for this because of all the journeys I've taken up to this point. That's a different sentence, and that's a different story. Okay?
You have to
believe that this is defined by your own creativity, that you've lived your creativity in the world in many ways, and now it's expanded into this even bigger thing, because that's what I see in the chart right now. And the card you got is the Ace of Swords. Now, when you get the Ace of Swords in the Mother Peace deck, that's the butterfly, and she's levitating, and the hand is holding up the sword. It's Excalibur. And it means Excalibur, of course, means you're the only one that can pull the sword out of the stone. No one else can do it. If you don't do it, they may do it in some kind of way, halfway, but not the way your soul has made this contract, this commitment to do it. We're spiritual beings in a human incarnation. And so right now, you're up, okay? Andy, you're up, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Questions?
That sounds great.
Okay, I hope so, because it is great.
Thank you. You have a great night.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. Now, Sheila, I'm sure you've looked at your own chart for 12-12-12. What does it look like
not
for
really.
You?
Not really.
You haven't?
Well,
you
I
haven't
know
looked.
My chart. I know my chart, so yes, I know. I know that the Uranus in Aries is laying on my Mars in Aries, which is on the Uranian wheel, a perfect thing to midpoint to my Sun and to Mars, Jupiter, Sun, and my Jupiter is in Gemini. So I know that yes, it's all very fortuitous. It's all very good in my chart. I know that, yes. I mean,
yeah.
I know that the apex of this yacht is right on top of my own Jupiter in Gemini. So it's that was a slight untruth. But I hadn't thought about it till you said it, see.
Well, Jupiter in Gemini is that what you have your Jupiter in?
Yes.
And
my
that's
Jupiter
what Jupiter
in
Gemini is Jupiter is in Gemini right now, and it's forming a yod. It's forming a yod, as you said.
Yes.
I actually have a Jupiter in my chart that is also a yod, but my Jupiter is in Pisces. So
yeah, but it's still in the mutable. It's still in the mutable household. It's still in the mutable environment. And the mutable environment means that it is aspecting the Jupiter in Gemini. The glorious thing is this Neptune at 0 degrees of Pisces, because you are writing books to get people out from being... Pisces has two sides. The one side is the victim side, and the other side is the hero side. So it depends, you know, like the story of Jesus, it depends what you're saying. It depends what the religion is saying. Is Jesus a victim? Was he a victim, which he's described, you have to suffer? Or was he a hero, which is the other side, which he described himself as a hero. He described himself as not suffering. He described himself as, If you believe that you can be healed, then you can be healed. It was, if you believe you can be healed, you can be healed. So and then he transcended the suffering. That was the parable, to transcend it, to rise up out of it. And, you know, and all of the things were parables, like the walking on the water was you can get above your emotions. People just look and read that, but they don't take the meaning, the Piscean meaning, out of the lessons that he was teaching every single minute.
Right.
So your Piscean energy, you know, your books are teaching. Your books are teaching around prayer and around animals and around, you know, they're expanding the universe. Here you go.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I believe I believe it's a gift to all the right brain people who often get left out in the cold. in the corporate world, especially in the corporate world.
It's becoming less and less so. The right brain, left brain is starting to in some way even itself out. Corporations are starting... certain people in the corporation, I think that Steve Jobs is partly responsible for that too.
Yeah, he had Yogananda books that he read every day. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? The Autobiography of a Yogi.
I read that. It's a great book. I read that.
I think he read that at least once a year anyway. So that is
an
amazing
book to read once a year.
Oh, my gosh, what a great book. The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda actually is a spiritual classic that was written back in the 40s, 1940s.
Yes, it was.
And my mom had it. My mother had it from the very first time I can remember. She was there reading it and talking about it like crazy. She was really into it. Of course, then she got into something else, but she always remembered it.
Well, once you experience a book a couple of times and you chew it and you eat it up, that's the way I do with books, then they become part of you.
Yeah.
They become part of your consciousness and they become part of your morphogenic field. And you just begin to live them. And then, but then if you go back years later, then you go, oh, my gosh, I missed that. Oh, my God. You know, it's like when somebody does your astrological chart and then people call and go, you know, when I listened to that tape 4 years ago, I didn't get that. But the chart, but as you grow the chart and you get your astrological chart done, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And, and I've done a lot of charts right now through the journey that I've just been in. I've done a lot of charts over again, you know, that people had them done, and they're going, oh, my gosh, now I get this. Now I understand this. And now it goes much deeper. And
Right. And that's the beautiful thing about
your chart is like what you're like a book. I mean, you can never ever get enough of it. It's your own card. It's your, I don't understand why everybody in the universe doesn't want their astrological chart done. because now it's available. I mean, now you can go online and put your stuff in. Now it's available in some ways. And to get it done and interpreted is you know, in England, in China, in India, they all take astrology very seriously.
Yes. Yes, they do.
It's a very serious thing. I was very interested in the fact that this baby that's coming to Kate and them is already created such an energy in its environment. I mean, it's given her, and I guess you know a lot more about that morning sickness. I know that Joni Aeon, a friend of mine, had that, Frank Aeon's wife, that she was sick for the entire two pregnancies with that.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that Kate has. It's just hideous. But then
mm-hmm.
this whole thing around this nurse, you know, them getting into the hospital, and, you know, of course those people from that radio station, I don't think they ever expected to get through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who would expect
mm-hmm.
to get through? And once it came through, they were, it's supposed to be, you know, who would expect if they got on the phone that they weren't cleared, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But such energy has come out around this baby already. You know, he must going to be a real leader in some way, I feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
there must
mm-hmm.
be something that I can't wait to see his chart, or he or her. Here I'm calling him a he, you know. I don't even know.
I hope it's a girl.
Yes, yes, we want another queen, don't we? Well, those queens, you know, the mother, the queen mother, she was a Leo. She's a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
How old? She's 100 and something. Didn't she live to 100 and something?
Yeah, she was quite the homeopathy. She took homeopathic medicine all of her
wow.
life, you know. And I wonder if that's part of her longevity. But also, she apparently, England and isn't that welcoming towards homeopathy. I just heard that they're trying to, you know, make it not as available to the public, which I think is sad. I mean, you would think after the Queen has done so well with homeopathy that they would be embracing it as in their population of people.
Yes.
But nevertheless, some things don't make any sense.
I want to recommend to everybody that's listening to me and us and Kate to go see Lincoln. It's one of the best made films I've seen in I don't know how long. And the soul of that movie gets so inside of you that when you walk out of there, you expect not to be in this century.
Mm-hmm.
It's jarring that these people, I mean, every one of them, Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Fields, Tommy Lee Jones, James Spader, who is a lobbyist. Every actor in this must have lived then. They must have reincarnated here to do these roles because it's spellbinding. It's spellbinding that you
it
feel
is.
That
it's
you...
It's a good movie.
We have
another person on the line. Let me just bring, I think it's Kip, 802 area code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, that's
hi.
Cool.
Hi,
hey Kate,
how are
you?
Doing? Oh, it's good to hear your voice, Kip. This is Mary Sheila. So, do you have a question for her?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just interested. I guess my birthday is May 3rd, 54.
May 3rd, 54, right?
Yep.
That's cute. Yeah. After a while, we forget our birthdays, don't we?
Then everybody else
remembers them.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, not
if
in my case.
Huh?
I said not in my case.
Oh, really? Not in your case? So we have another Taurus. This is a Taurus night, isn't it? Oh, my God. You're a double Taurus, aren't you? Whoa.
I think everything's pretty much Taurus for me.
Yeah.
As I understand it.
Well, that means, you know, that your contract with coming into this human body is to break open, is to break your entire chart open. I call it the God scene, and a lot of people do not do it, but you are committed to do that. And in doing that, it means that you will be using the entire map. You will be using the entire field. A lot of people only use some parts of their charts. They don't use the whole natal map because they are in a comfort zone and they don't want to stretch and risk to do that. But when you have the sun and moon in Taurus, it means emotionally the moon puts people around you that are going to be mirrors that help break open the chart. So the Taurine energy, the Taurus Scorpio axis is not an easy axis. It's a life and death thing, and there has to be a few deaths physically, job-wise, relationship-wise, in order for it to really break open. You know, Elizabeth Lesser, I think, says you have to die 3 or 4 times in a lifetime before you can really break the chart open.
Hmm.
So you have, Saturn here in Scorpio, which is that's very intense. That is somehow working with a structure that just crumbles right under you, and you feel like you're in the dark and you can't get out. But somehow you know how to light the light. It takes a lot of faith to light the light in that situation. And, of course, the Pluto energy in Leo, which means it went direct right after you were born. But you were born with it subjectively in retrograde. And way deep inside, there's some tremendous destiny in this chart, really, and of the new age and the age that's coming and going off the Mayan calendar, and of really being a leader and showing people how to completely open themselves up, and that means peeling everything away, everything that's comfortable, everything that's not necessary. I'm done now. You can talk.
I don't need to. That's just kind of fun to hear. I got my book and I'm doing a webinar series with Tom Lesher, astrologer. We'll be talking on Sunday night and doing a whole series of leading the way for people to the 21st and beyond. So,
well, there you go. It's right there.
Very exciting. Do you have a card for Kip?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was concentrating on what he was saying. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to keep you all on track here.
You really do? Okay. I can't believe this. I got the death card in the Mother Peace deck. It looks like, it's just exactly what I said. There's skeletons in the middle of it, and then the snake is systematically rubbing the skin off against the tree, and what is emerging is this beautiful red and yellow snake. And so it is the emerging of, that we explore these aspects of ourselves, the dark side, anger, pain, abandonment, terror, loneliness. And they're the aspects of the sacred wound that in our daily lives we ignore it. It forces us to look at the parts of ourselves that we normally don't. And you're a teacher of that in some way. And whatever you're doing, you're putting the seeds of wisdom and enlightenment. They're planted within your chart, and that's really fabulous. Okay.
All right.
Why
I guess there was a reason I wrote that. Well, I guess there was a reason I wrote that book then.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
There's always a reason to write a book.
Kip, tell us your book and tell us your website.
The book is Zen and the Art of the Midlife Crisis. I've gone through 4 years of transformation and having a good time. And yeah, the website is solsticespirit.com. We're also going to be talking about all this stuff, so I had to tune in when I saw the subject matter tonight. So just wanted to say hi, Kate.
Yeah, I want to listen to your webinar. That'll be great. Or teleseminar, probably. Yeah. So thank you for reminding me and everybody else. I appreciate that very much.
My pleasure to get a good hit. Thank you.
And a pleasure to talk to you, Kit.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk with you. Bye-bye. So here we are at the end of the hour by 5 minutes, my dear Sheila, and I hope to see you tomorrow at our exercise class.
Okay, see you there.
Yeah.
Good night.
Love
good night,
to you.
Honey.
Love you.
And 12, 12, 12. Okay, bye-bye.
12, 12, 12. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.